Welcome to the Mother Love Podcast. This is Claire Larson, your host.
This is a space where guests open their hearts, gather their courage, and tell the truth about what it means to care for these messy and delightful little ones in today's big, wide, and often overwhelming world. We talk about the pressures, the steep learning curves, and the bittersweet reality of watching our children grow. Parenting asks us to be willing to feel it all, celebration and grief, joy and anguish, fear and bravery. So take a breath, let these stories wash over you, and show yourself a little love.
Hi, Mother Love listeners. I always say this, but guess what? I'm excited about this interview. And I'm really excited because this is a friend of mine, Annie Tagg, and we have a little bit of a personal history, which is that I worked for Annie at Mountainside Montessori, and it was a really beautiful time in my life where I was going through a lot personally, but every day I got to show up and care for these kiddos, and at a school where kindness and patience and empathy and being present are things that you repeat 400 times a day with the children. And so it was a really sweet time in my life in that way. Work felt it felt really important to be with kids at that time. So anyway, welcome, Annie.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about, you are still doing that work.
I am.
And how's it going?
Yeah, I'm still co-owner of Mountainside Montessori. And it's all the things you said. It's important work. It's beautiful every day. I love being with the children. They make me giggle.
Yeah.
I have great stories to tell.
Yeah.
And they just bring me so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel like the water cooler talk at that place is hilarious.
It's the best. Teacher talk is the best.
Oh my gosh. Because you'll be like, can you believe what so-and-so said?
Can you believe what I had to say? The things that I say, I never thought I'd have to say those words together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take your spoon out of your ear.
Right.
Stop tipping the table over at
right.
lunch. I know.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all the range of emotions every 5 minutes, mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah. And it's a great workout. You're never still.
Totally.
Yeah.
I was super strong. We won't go into that, but I was very strong at that time in my life.
Upper body, lower body core.
Helping various kiddos with what they needed. But yeah. So anyway, I'm so glad you're here, and we'll go more into why in particular you're here to share your story today.
Okay.
But maybe you could just start a little bit, I think we'll just dive in from the beginning. And even if you could talk about, your daughter, Sally, mm-hmm. is most of what we'll probably focus on today.
Yeah.
And your experience with mothering Sal, who is one of my favorite kids ever. but talk about even your journey to parenting. How was your pregnancy with Sal? How did your birth go? Let's just start from
Very type A, so it was very structured and scripted, and there was windows of time we were trying for. There was windows of time that I wanted to be on maternity leave as a teacher, so I was planning for an end of the year birth. I got that. She was 21 days late or something, 17 days late. She was due on Cinco de Mayo, but born on the 21st of May.
Oh, my goodness.
So she was really late. And I was fine. My doctors let me go, and I'm like, I'm fine. I don't, everything's fine. And it was fine. I took a great little birth class from Kristen Bishop, and mm-hmm. that really helped me feel empowered as a pregnant mom and as a, with my partner, Steve. He was there with me, and
I didn't know she did that.
She doesn't do it anymore. It's a real shame because she's amazing.
I bet.
Yeah, it was actually just somewhere on the Gulch. We would meet once a week for a couple months. And it was, yeah. So we talked about birth plans.
I'm writing letters.
Yeah, write letters. Get back in the business. Yeah. So I felt pretty empowered, and my pregnancy was great. I loved being pregnant. I loved eating.
Yep.
I didn't really like protein, so I just would force myself to mm-hmm. eat at Arby's with Arby's sauce, because the sauce is where it's at, or Taco Bell with the Taco Bell sauce.
Right.
So I'm,
isn't that funny?
I try to be real healthy, but during pregnancy, I just I gotta eat protein. I guess I gotta go to Arby's and get some Arby's sauce.
That's so funny that you say that, because that was the one time in my life when I was pregnant with Kyla that I was I must have Taco Bell.
Yes.
And I would drive across town like a possessed woman
yeah.
just for the fake
I know the cheese. Yeah.
And I was like, who is this that's growing in my stomach? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like you, like if I didn't do that, which debatable whether or not that protein is really valuable, but like I would just eat saltines and that was pretty much it.
Nothing was good as that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually one time I did have a tuna fish sandwich in bed with like jalapeno chips or something. That's like Steve's favorite story is that. Remember one night you got up at like 10 and you just made yourself a sandwich with jalapeno chips and then you came back to bed and ate it in bed while you were pregnant? I'm like, yes, I do. That was a great memory. I was super happy in that moment.
Aren't those things so great? And you like, I feel like the real win there would have been to put the jalapeno chips in the sandwich.
It may have been that way. I do like to do that. Yeah. I don't recall exactly if that's how I mean, I probably did both. Let's be honest. I probably had a little bag of chips. And they were probably in the sandwich. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Well, good job, Past Annie.
Thanks. I know, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So everything was great in my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I had this great birth plan when it was time to go, you know, again, she was really late. And finally the doctor was like, okay, man, your placenta's probably getting real old in there. And I'm like, oh, rude. But
don't insult my placenta. Who are you? Yeah.
So we went in and like they did do some Pitocin, or they did like the folio cath, the balloon thing.
Oh, okay.
To dilate me overnight. That worked a little. But then they did have to do some Pitocin and get things going.
Yeah.
She was born at the perfect time for me. She was born at 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
The cafeteria was still open.
Okay.
So guess what? I got more food. I ordered all the foods.
Yeah.
All the things. Grilled cheese. Macaroni and cheese.
That's so funny.
Whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Then Steve's dad brought him some, I don't know, Jimmy John's or something. And then I ate his sandwich too.
Yeah. You were like, give me that.
I'm like, I'm going to need that.
That's amazing. Yeah. I think I only remember, and this is true of any time someone has forced me to stop ingesting things.
Uh-huh.
And probably anyone who knows me can guess what I'm about to say, but I was just like, coffee.
Yes.
Coffee with cream now, like, and water. And then we'll talk about food later.
Yeah, I'm opposite. I'm like, give me the food and whatever else can come later. But greasy mostly and cheesy.
Yeah, just restore that energy. I mean,
totally.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It is a lot. You're doing a lot. And my doctor is great. He was like, you can eat if you want while you're in labor, but you're probably going to throw it up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel okay with this. And I was like, okay, me too. And I did do that. But
my doctors were so strict, like ice chips only. And
Well, my doctor wasn't actually there for the actual delivery. He had a soccer game he had to go to.
Yeah,
so someone else, you know how it goes.
soccer is everything.
Soccer is life around here.
I had that shirt.
I didn't know that till I moved to Montana.
I had a soccer is life and a basketball is life t-shirt.
Double life.
But you can't. I mean,
you can. They're kind of different seasons. True. I mean, I guess if you play indoor soccer.
Anyways. So, that's cool. I'm glad that you were able. I feel like that's a thing that I don't hear very often is people going that, you know, quote unquote late. Over 30
Well, and I had to put, I didn't have to beg or,
but you had to
but
advocate.
I had to say, I'm fine. Your monitoring is fine. Like everything is looking fine.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you got my whatever wrong, my date wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was born fine. My placenta did look old for realsies in real life. It was apparently looking old.
All right. Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, everything was good. She had her, like, you know, Marconi, you know, she had the stool passing that was normal.
Yeah.
We were doing cloth diapering and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice to hear. We don't often have a lot of super smooth
I know. I feel pretty lucky. Amelia, my other daughter, was a bit different, but not totally different. But for my first one, it was.
Yeah. I mean, Sally's pretty type A too, so
maybe you
were in cahoots there.
Yeah, she is.
Like type
you mean
A
other
like
than not
bit,
showing up on time.
Exactly.
With that's
a little
just her
twist of
side.
Montessori. Like we're going to just listen.
I'm doing it my
listen.
Own time.
I'm doing my own time. Don't rush
me. We're following
me.
The child.
Yeah,
here.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Okay, we'll talk about Amelia a little bit later, which again, like this is going to sound redundant, but that kid.
Is
one of my favorite kids for a lot of reasons, but oh my gosh, her facial expressions. We've talked about this before.
Yes,
but
they're great.
No
and I was
filter.
Actually just looking at baby pictures last night. Oh, I was looking at our old Yellowstone. Anyway, doesn't matter why I was looking at them. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. There's like 17 photos of her in one single sitting and they're all different faces. Like she's scowling. She's laughing. She's inquisitive. Yeah. She, you know, like just, yeah, she, even from the time she's born, yeah, her face is.
She could be a model for like when you're teaching kids like different feelings, and like you could like flashcards and be like, this
what
is judgmental.
Now? Yes, totally.
I can just go through it. Yeah.
This is your total asshole.
Yes.
Completely. Why are you making me do this?
Yeah. Yeah, that is one. And most kids would be like, finally, there's a card for that.
Right. Yes, finally. Someone shows me what I'm feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then this next bit of the story that we'll move into is things, you know, after all of that smoothness started to sort of turn a corner, and tell us a little bit more about as Sally started to develop what happened.
Well, you know, the first year of life seemed, everything seemed normal. I mean, she was doing, you know, meeting milestones, doing, I mean, because it's kind of potty centric, this story, it wasn't till later that I realized, oh, there were some signs that I missed or didn't know that were signs. You know, we did a lot of hand signing to communicate at first for, you know, the first year of her life. That's kind of how she communicated. And I remember one night she slept on a floor bed next to our bed instead of a crib as part of the Montessori thing. And she woke up in the middle of the night and was signing help, and then did the sign for poop. Mm-hmm. And she was about a year old, and I took her into the bathroom and sat her on her little potty, and she was just crying and signing help, mm-hmm, or help, help, and mm-hmm, poop. And, you know, just at that moment I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Like, this seems strange that she is feeling so strongly about this, that she's asking for help, and clearly something is bothering her. And I didn't think much of it other, you know, at the time. It wasn't until later I was like, oh my gosh, remember that night where she woke up and she was clearly constipated, mm-hmm, and wanting help, and I didn't know how to help. I mean, how do you help it?
Right.
How do you help the poop come out?
Totally.
When you don't know anything.
Yeah. Right.
So everything was fine until like we started doing some potty training, and she peed in the potty. Great. She was always interested in the potty. She would sit on her little potty. She would sit on the big potty. She would pee in the potty. But the pooping, the bowel movements was tricky for her, and it was something as she got older, between like 1.5 and 2, she was embarrassed by. She didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
She would get angry if you mentioned it or you talked, like asked her to go try and sit on the potty to poop. And she just wasn't pooping as much. And it was, when she did, it was pretty hard, and hard on her physically to get it out,
right,
but also the poop was, the stool was pretty hard.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, what's going on? My child's, she's very smart. She started talking, I mean, in multi-word phrases before she was one, the other things came so easy to her. And it was concerning to me that, like, she's a smart kid. She's peeing on the potty, but why is this poop such a thing? She would go and hide and poop, and it was just like this process. It was, I'm an educator. I'm deep into the Montessori understanding of things. And I just felt like this should be much easier than it is.
Yeah.
And I know now that every child comes to that pottying journey very differently, mm-hmm, and takes a different amount of time. And so I was probably being too hard on myself, but also by being hard on myself, I found the answers that I needed. Because had I just been like, yeah, she'll get it someday, I might have not known, you know, what was to come.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like, that's part of the tendency as a brand new mom, is to kind of be weighing like your intuition with what everyone is saying.
Totally. Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people say like, okay, well, kids get constipated. Like, just give her prune juice or give her whatever.
And that is what happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was all this advice coming from everywhere, from the people who nannied her, from my parents, from the pediatrician,
of
just
course,
like, you know, try this. You know, we tried the, just be at home without underwear. Well, then she pooped on the floor.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'm glad she got it out, but that was not, like, it's still,
it's
not in the potty.
Like an ideal
it's not
situation.
Ideal situation.
Yeah.
You know, or do lots of fruits and water. I mean, she only ever drank water. She never had juice. She never had, I mean, we were very healthy eaters.
Right.
Minus my pregnancy, of course. but we were very healthy eaters, and, you know, we really watched the processed and refined things, and it was, you know, I love to cook, so we did a lot of cooking from scratch, and so I just did not get, like, what's happening?
Totally.
And then, you know, you go to the pediatrician, and, you know, they're just trying to, you know, do as little as possible because of the, like, you know, you don't want to go overboard with medicine and, you know, testing at this age and everything. So they recommended Miralax, which we did. I actually found our food log here and I was reading through it. This is when she's like 3 or 4, but before that it was just kind of like, well, do Miralax once in a while. It wasn't really like a regimented thing, and right. It wasn't really like set in stone of like, this is what we should do, this is how much, this is when you should do it, this is what you should be looking for after she takes the Miralax. Right. It was just kind of like, just give her some Miralax.
Yeah.
Which, okay, it's fairly inert.
Right.
When you're in the medical world.
Right.
I mean, I know there's other people who feel differently about Miralax, but so we did that and it helped some, but it still was treating the symptom and not the problem. Like we weren't at the root of the problem. Like, why is she like this? You know, we really watched dairy. My husband has issues with dairy, so we were lessening our dairy and still it persisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know.
And it's hard because doctors, you know, like pediatricians, I don't know. I mean, you're just a novice.
Yeah.
Too. Like, no matter how much you know, it's like this, like, well, there are so many things. There's like, should I trust my like deep down intuition
right.
that like something is up? I know
yes.
this kid, this is definitely different.
Right.
Or when I say that, doctors are looking at me like I'm a crazy like helicopter parent or whatever. And like, then it's like, I'm challenging what they know.
Right.
And what they know in terms of the advice they're giving might work for like 8 out of 10 kids.
Totally.
And so they're just
right.
like,
there's just
this
so many
is what
variables.
This is how we treat it.
For sure. Absolutely.
And then you trust like, okay, well, if it works for so many kids, it'll probably eventually work. So we're going to keep trying it.
Yeah.
But then you get to a certain point where you're like, you kind of feel like you're alone. Cause you're like,
oh,
okay,
for sure.
Nobody's listening to me.
Yeah.
I know something's up, like what now?
And it was such a battle, you know, like there was just such a, I just felt so, it was very stressful to me and anxiety ridden because I didn't want her to have accidents at school. If she's
right.
holding, at some point it's the dam is going to break and she's going to need to poop, and I don't want her to be embarrassed or have to, I don't want her teachers to have to deal
totally.
With it. She's at preschool at this point. And yeah, it was just super stressful. And then it became stressful between her and I, and that feels really yucky
mm-hmm.
that I'm like begging her to poop and she's like, I'm trying and it's not coming out, or I don't want to, this is, you know, it's just the whole thing was terrible feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and you do kind of feel like, okay, well, this isn't working, like you're talking about, I know something's wrong. So I found this book, I don't even remember what it's called, but it was like basically like bedwetting and bathroom things, that's no accident, like there's something going on, which I was like, yes, of course there's something going on, like there's something happening with her, I know it. And they recommended doing enemas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
We did enemas, and that was terrible. That
yeah.
felt just felt terrible.
Yeah,
it did work, like as soon as you did the enema, then she would be able to have a bowel movement, but the just all the emotional and just all the stuff around that felt terrible. And
yeah.
you know, our pediatrician was like, yeah, if that's working, that's fine. I'm like, well, it
you're
is
like,
she's
let me
pooping.
Put a camera of how that goes
yeah,
at our house
exactly.
though, and tell me it's working fine.
Yeah.
Because emotionally
oh,
I know that was so hard
it
for
was
you guys.
So hard. It was it just felt terrible.
Yeah.
So we did that for a while because this book said that that worked, and it did work. But it,
how
again,
often did you have to do it? Like
I mean,
every
it was
time?
Like every night.
Oh man!
At first,
Amy.
For like a couple of weeks,
yeah.
and then it was like every other, every 3 days. You know, I've kind of blocked
tough.
It out.
Yeah,
really.
I bet.
For a while, we still had some kid, you know, pediatric enemas in the closet down in the bathroom, and I mean, it wasn't until like probably 3 or 4 years ago I've been like, why do we have these? These are terrible. Let's get rid of these. These are just not something that I want.
Yeah.
To remember.
Totally.
So we did that for a while. And again, I've just kept going to the pediatrician, you know, we'd have our well visits and I'm like, she's still not confidently pooping. You know, we're still having smears in the underwear. Where she's clearly holding, cause she's not having a bowel movement
yeah.
within a normal amount of time. And they did recommend us to go see a pediatric gastroenterologist. She happened to be a nurse practitioner in that field. And we met with her and she listened and she did a great job. And Sally was there, and Sally had never been like this. She was just always very happy and just a sweet, smart kid. And the doctor and I, or the nurse and I are talking, and Sally is not even looking at either of us. And she yells, I hate you. I mean, she's 2 or 3 at this point, and she's never said anything like that before. And she felt embarrassed. She didn't
yeah,
want us talking
totally.
About her poop.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes sense. Who wants to talk about their poop? Now I'm so entrenched in poop talk in both my personal life and
normal.
My professional life
yes.
as an educator
yep.
of small people.
Yes.
That it's just normal. And
yeah.
she's 10 now, and it's just a normal thing we do. You know,
yeah.
she tells me when she poops and we look at her poop and we talk about, is it healthy? Like, do you
yeah.
feel, how did you, you know, like
right.
just
right.
all these things about poop. But at that time, It was heartbreaking to hear her say that.
I bet.
Because I felt like I'd betrayed her trust.
Yeah, for sure. And it, that's another thing where, like, just in general as a parent, I've talked to a lot of moms that we talk about, like, when they turn the corner where, like, they have enough self-awareness to feel shame and to feel embarrassment, where, like, the first part of their lives, like, we're kind of speaking on behalf of them for their own health and well-being. And then it's one day, like, you know, like, you can tell, like, that's humiliating. And so you're like, okay, well, how do I handle this new thing? I still need to, like, deal with it, you know? And like, it gets different as they get older. Like, now it's like, can I take your picture?
Yes.
Like, this
can
whole,
I put,
like,
this on Facebook?
Thing.
Whatever.
Can I, you know, and it's important, but it's like, it's kind of a wake up call when it first happens. Cause you're like, oh
yeah, this is a person who has their own thoughts and feelings and is experiencing this in a different way than I am.
And doesn't want a stranger involved.
Yeah. Doesn't want this person who they don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So that happened. And again, you know, they listened and, but they, again, they're like, let's do a clean out, which involved this other medicine that she had to drink at night and then, or half at night and then half in the morning. And then it would, like, clear out her bowels and X-lax. I mean, it was a very, like, okay, half a cap of, or half a bottle of this and then two X-lax and then in the morning, half a bottle of this. And then, like, you're supposed to do this on a Friday so that over the weekend she cleans out. So then the week is good. Because the other thing that was, is, has become way more noticeable still now, even as a 10-year-old, is that when she is backed up, her behavior and her just, it's just her attitude on and outlook on life is totally different. She has no resiliency. She has a short fuse, and it is the instant that she uses the bathroom and has a bowel movement, it is like a noticeable difference. Like, she's like, oh mom, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't, but she still has a hard time associating that prior of, like, maybe you need to poop. I don't need to poop.
Right. I mean, it's the PMS thing.
Totally.
Like, maybe your peers come in, like, screw you.
Screw you. Yeah, exactly. So
how dare you?
Right.
Well, because it's like, and we go through this in different ways too. So sorry to interrupt, but
no,
like,
you're fine.
I feel like it's also, those feelings feel really real when you're in a mood like
that.
Oh,
for sure.
And so when someone tells you, like, it's probably because of X, Y, and Z,
right,
it feels really invalidating. Like, no, this is my experience. This is my feeling.
Especially when, like, they're in the height of emotion.
Totally. I mean, Kendall's one of the most hangry kids I've ever seen. And she's like a sweet, perfect angel.
She's one of my favorite
people.
And
when she is hungry, like, she becomes, she's like those Snickers commercials.
Out.
Yeah, totally. She, like, gets really intense. And I mean, God forbid you tell her maybe you should eat something.
Yeah. I mean, similar, right? Yeah. Like, I try to phrase it in different ways of, like, let's do a little body check-in. Are you tired? Mm-hmm. Do you need some water? Are you hungry? Do you need to poop?
Just, like, casually slip that in there. Like,
and it doesn't really go over any better.
Uh-uh.
She's, I mean, she is getting better and better about it, but it still is such a noticeable difference. Like, just last weekend, something happened and she pooped, and I was like clockwork, Steve.
Yeah.
She pooped, and she's feeling better.
Right. Totally. Oh. And I mean, that's cool to know that, like, as her mom and, like, as her family, but I imagine it's really hard to watch her go through that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because you just, you know, you were like, get out of your own way.
Yeah. Totally.
You got this.
Yeah.
You know, you can try these things.
Right. Yeah.
And hopefully it'll just keep getting better, and she'll just tune into that. And
yeah.
And like I said, you can't say it in the moment, right? Right. That's hard.
Yeah.
But you can't really know when that moment is coming. So you can't, like, say it 10 minutes before the freak out.
Yeah. Yes. If only.
If only.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the gastro pediatric nurse we saw gave us this regimen of things to do. And it, you know, it did. It cleaned her out. But then the week would go and then we'd be back where we started. Mm-hmm. So we did that for a few months.
So your weekends are shot.
Yeah,
much.
I mean, because you have to be near a toilet.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a kid and she's similar to me, like, at home turf, man. Like,
yeah.
Being out in public is
totally
not happening for her.
Yeah.
You know, my other one, she's pretty, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Outhouse, I'm there. I love the outhouse. Pit toilet, sign me up.
Oh, my God. I love her so much. I can see that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just dig a hole in the backyard,
I'll just dig
Mom.
A hole. I'll be over here. Oh, man, I got it on my pants. All right. Well, let's get back in the boat.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just knew. I was like, something is still not right. Like, we're treating the symptoms and not the cause. Mm-hmm. And so my mom, I'm from the Spokane area, and she works in the pediatric environment through dentistry, but they often do pediatric surgeries where lots of specialists are involved to just get it all done once while they're under. And so she had worked with a pediatric gastro there. And she's like, I think you should, you know, I kind of talked to her about Sally, and she loves to find out why kids don't poop. Like that's her MO. And I'm like, great, sign me up.
Yeah.
So we got that referral, and we finally got our appointment, and we met with her, and she's like, so she took a thorough history, and my husband's family, he has an uncle who had celiac and an aunt who died of something else. And so she took all this family history, and that day she had like 5 tests that she wanted to run, you know, so we could just go downstairs and do some of them and come back in a week. This is all in Spokane, and do the other one. And within 2 weeks, she had diagnosed Sally with celiac disease. And I didn't know much about celiac disease.
It gives me chills every time you get to this part of the story.
And it was just like, oh, great. This is going to be the switch that's just going to like make everything better. I remember she called and said, you know, her labs indicate that she has celiac. To confirm it, we have to do an endoscope and look at her villi in her intestines. And that's like the gold standard for celiac
diagnoses.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, what does that entail? And it entails putting her under. It's really quick. And, you know, like we do heavy sedation because you don't want to like have her wake up and mess anything up because it goes down through her throat. And I was like, okay, you know, like I just really trust medical people. Yeah. And I'm very lucky. I haven't really had any bad experiences with it. And I talked with Steve about it, and he's like, of course we should do that. Let's do that. Like, we'll do that. And so we did that in February. She had her endoscope in February of, I don't know, when she was 4, whatever year that was.
We're not doing math today.
I don't need to do math. We barely got seated in the waiting room, and they were like, oh, she's all done, come back. And they had taken pictures and showed us like what a normal villi looked like.
Yep.
And, you know, for those listening who don't know what villi are, because I didn't, they're like little fingers in your intestine. And when you have celiac disease, they become blunted. So instead of fingers, they're just like little bumps. Mm-hmm. And hers were very stubby and not really there. And it was classic celiac. Mm-hmm. So it was confirmed. And, you know, I know a lot of people go back and forth about whether they should do the endoscope to confirm celiac, but had I not seen it with my own eyes, it would have been really easy to just dismiss like, oh, it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to be super careful.
Totally.
With her.
Yep.
And so I shared that part of my story, that having that endoscope, while scary to put your baby under, was actually, because it's not the most easy thing to deal with in life, to remind me of like, no, her body was rejected. Like, it was going to malnourish her and lead to all sorts of other things.
Totally.
Cancers and, you know, all these other autoimmune diseases that you can get if you don't treat celiac disease. So that was great. You know, we like took her out to Frank's Diner in Spokane, which is like this train car restaurant. And she had never been there before, but we had, you know, she had to fast from the night before. So she was super hungry by the time her endoscope was over, and it was kind of like her last gluten hurrah. And I probably shouldn't have given her gluten knowing she couldn't have it, but it was like she was starving, and you know, I didn't know much about it. I just like, let's just do it
one last thing.
And she ordered everything. She had like giant 3 stack of huge pancakes, a milkshake, hash browns, I mean like a cinnamon roll, like all the things. And she was in heaven, and she still talks about that to this day, like, remember my last gluten meal? It was so yummy at Frank's Diner. I mean, it was just, so we did that.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of cool, like it's like a ceremony to move
for
into
sure. We didn't mean for it to be in it, but it was. It was, and it's a memory that lives in her, and she's still convinced she's never had a milkshake since, which is not true, but nothing lives up to that one.
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, it was like as big as her head. It was very tall, and you know, all the bells and whistles with it. So
if you haven't been to Frank's Diner,
you should check it. A quick plug.
This episode,
I get no
sponsored
kickbacks,
but we always used to go there when I was a kid every time we went to Spokane.
Yeah.
And I remember the train. I don't remember the milkshakes, but I remember the being mesmerized by the train. Yeah,
and you're in these little booths. Yeah. I mean, it's super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you, quick question.
Yeah.
Did you notice, like, did she feel, was that the first time that you were like, did she feel really not well after that?
You know, I didn't notice. I don't think there was any noticing. And actually, this morning I got out this lovely food log book that we kept for 2 years or something.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this, but I wrote down like those first few days of being gluten-free that she had, she was clammy or had some anxiety, you know, and I don't remember any of this. I would not have remembered it had I not read like, oh,
yeah,
she did. So she was kind of going through, I don't know if it's withdrawals or what was happening, or she had been gluten-free and then gotten a little in whatever, because I didn't really know what I was doing. And I'm like, oh, it says gluten-free, but you know, it has, or it says wheat-free, but it has barley in it or whatever, you know, malt.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what was what, but it, you know, I've written things like had leg aches in the middle of the night, which now I know that was one of her symptoms of getting, of being gluten or being sick or not feeling well, is that she would always wake up with these leg pains. And I just thought they were growing pains too.
Yep.
You know, we're at these strange ages that you really shouldn't have growing pains in your legs.
But you're apparently, you don't know.
You don't know. I just like tie a tube sock around it. That's what my grandpa told me to do. So we did.
It's some and whiskey in a tube sock. You'll be fine.
Exactly. It's fine. But now I know. And I wrote in there too, like woke up with leg aches. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This was a sign. This was a symptom of something that was going wrong in her body. And I also look back at pictures now and her cheeks were so red, like bright red, like, did I kill some brain cells? You're very overheated in this picture. Or it was the gluten.
Right.
Or both. I don't know. But like, for sure, I see those now. Or I see, you know, I see her making pizza dough or making pasta with us or mowing down on a, you know, staggering ox sandwich. I'm like, oh my God, I was killing you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't know.
You didn't know. And we talked about one of the challenges of celiac too is symptoms are so, there's like,
there's a hundred different, and they're so varied.
They're so varied.
Never
so
the same from person to person. Yeah.
Leg cramps could be growing pains. Or they could be like, that's what's
it. I mean, and that is the thing. And I think especially as you get older, we're pretty lucky that we caught it when she was 4 and a half. Not pretty lucky. We're very lucky because then there aren't all these other things that we're not sure. We're like, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Or what is this going on? And, you know, I read a lot about celiac and, you know, I'm in a lot of Facebook groups with celiac and it is kind of scary how many people probably are living with celiac who don't know.
Yep.
And I will also say like even our gastro in Spokane, who that's her whole life and she sees lots of patients of, you know, bowel issues. And I'm sure she's diagnosed many people with celiac, even said to me when she called to say, this is what she has, let's schedule an endoscope. It's really not that big of a change. Like you just don't eat gluten free. And at the time I'm like, great. But then I start reading more and I'm reading Mayo Clinic books because they have a whole celiac department. And it's like, oh, no, it's actually not just, like, you can't go to a restaurant and just order something gluten-free.
Yeah.
Cross-contamination is a huge part. And I even have notes that I was reading through this morning when we met with the dietitian in Spokane after she was diagnosed. And it's like, you know, 3 parts per million can cause her to have a reaction, an outward reaction.
Right.
But also, you can ingest gluten and not have a reaction and it can still be doing damage to your villi.
Yeah.
So it's not super
it's
easy.
It's not super easy. Yeah.
I mean, it is great that she doesn't have to take medicine to treat it. It is great that it's just a diet change, but it's a pretty hefty shift.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Have you had students who have celiac and how does that go?
So when I was teaching before Sally was diagnosed, I had one student who was celiac, but at the time, again, I didn't really know what it was. Her, you know, her mom sent in treats to have when other kids had birthday treats or something. And we kept those, but I probably wasn't as careful as I would have been now.
Right.
You know, like I'm sure I think, you know, we used to make pretzels.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I did science stuff with flour that, was not, but no, but they never said anything to me. They never educate or, you know, or
they
maybe they didn't
know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Since then, actually when Sal was at Mountainside as a first grader there, she was in a class with a girl who was diagnosed that year. And so then it was actually really great because we invited their family over and we just talked about our experience and like what it looks like now for us, you know, about eating out and traveling and, you know, we don't let the schools make snack. They don't eat the snack that's provided. They've sent, they bring their own. We pack all their food for everything or her food for everything. And so it was really lovely because now we have this second family that's experienced the same thing, that our children are already friends.
Yeah.
We're still friends. There's a set of twins, and one of them does Grand Street with Sally, mm-hmm. and is just really, she's also a teacher, and she's awesome because she's like, let's trade kids. We'll go out one night and you take all the kids, and we don't have to worry about like the food not being safe at your house. And then another night in the next month, we'll take all the kids and cook, you know, they're at a safe spot and you guys go out. Like, it's just, I don't even have to like bring water. I don't have to bring a water bottle even. I don't have to pack anything for her. Leave the house and they take care of everything because I know that their house is safe.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It is. And then actually when we started at Central School, there was another gal in Sal's class that had her whole family has celiac, so mm-hmm. it was like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
just like this network, like you're saying, it's a tribe, it's a village, and mm-hmm. it's been so nice to have people who are sharing in the same experience, and we can talk about like, is there any restaurants that you feel safe about in Helena, or like, oh, where'd you find that snack or that mm-hmm. treat, oh, you know, over here. So that's been really, because the other thing is not every grocery store carries everything.
Yeah,
so I have to go to a lot of grocery stores and I have to read packages, and,
yeah.
and one time someone at Vans, an employee at Vans goes, man, you sure take a long time to shop. You've been here forever. I'm like, I know, because I have to read every single ingredient because it could have changed from last time I bought it.
Really?
Yes. And there are apps that you can scan. They're not always like super accurate, but, and you know,
yeah,
I've relaxed a little bit on that, yeah. or I know the brands that I can trust, yeah. or I'm like in these groups that are like, oh, this packaging changed. And they're processing now with unshared equipment and they're not certified. So it could be content, you know, like
yeah.
these things.
Yeah. 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 And you talked about like at a certain point pretty early on, your whole family, like you cleaned out your kitchen, your whole family.
Yeah. Like when we came back from Spokane that next week, I just like started, you know, I got this Mayo Clinic book mm-hmm. about celiac disease, and it was really, really serious about the cross-contamination that like parts per million can cause a reaction. And this is my baby.
Yeah.
I don't want her to ever have cancer. I don't want her to have to deal with any of these other things. So why wouldn't we just do this for my peace of mind? Mm-hmm. It was easier if the whole house just went gluten-free. The anxiety I have when we travel to even my parents' house, who are wonderful and have special cooking equipment and a place in their kitchen where just Sally's stuff lives, and that's what we use when we come, it's still stressful. Like, I still have to remind my dad, like, you can't put her toast in the toaster. You
right.
need to put it in the little baggie and then put it in the toaster.
Right.
And he, you know, they're so great and they're so supportive, but it's still that anxiety or that extra level of stress.
Right. Well, because you're used to at home not having to worry about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is just safe for her, and you know, right. she can make a sandwich without worrying about who touched the mayo or the peanut butter and jelly or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with this.
No, but. I mean, we're not like going anywhere. We're just sharing stories. There was something I thought about while you were talking. Oh, just maybe talk a little bit about the rest of the family.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that that's a really cool piece that, like, even though it's kind of like a special need and you all have to sort of mm-hmm. Orbit around that.
Yeah.
Talk about Amelia's yeah. experience, and maybe just, let's just talk about Amelia for
yeah.
a minute. So, but like that, and then also the, you know, the sort of special things that you do to help Sally to feel welcome.
Sure.
Parties yeah. and things like
sure.
that.
Sure. So Amelia is Sally's younger sister. She's just shy of being 2 years younger mm-hmm. than Sally. And she's a trooper. I mean, so she was only 2 when Sal was diagnosed with celiac. So she doesn't really know much different.
Mm-hmm.
But as she gets older, she definitely recognizes that there are things we can and cannot do with Sal, or things that we have to modify because of Sal's diet. And she is just the best little sister. She is so supportive and is always like, oh, well, I got to have this and Sal didn't. So can we stop and get Sal a treat or something that's safe for her? You know, like one year they were both in class with me at Mountainside 1 year, and we did the March Madness thing, and whoever, a parent ran it, and you know, the top 3 people got prizes to Dairy Queen,
mm-hmm.
and Sal won one of them, and obviously she cannot eat at Dairy Queen, and she was sad, but she was like, oh, that's great, I'm gonna give it to my other friend over here because she can eat there. And I just said to her, like, yeah, you and I and Sissy will go after school and we'll go to the real food store and you pick out whatever crap you want.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's safe for you for whatever amount it was, $10 or something.
Yeah.
And she was super excited about that. Yeah. And Amelia was super excited for her. And she just, you know, like, are we go, you know, she just is so supportive. You know, there's a lot of times where she could be like, well, we can't do that because Sally, she could get angry about it. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She's just so, so supportive. Mm-hmm. She does love having hot lunch at school, though. Mm-hmm. Like, she loves it. Because I don't know if it's because it has gluten or because it's not what I packed, which is what she's eaten for her whole 7 year. You know, she's eight now, but for 7 years, it was just anything I packed or made. That's what she ate.
Our kids are the same age. You know, we haven't mentioned that yet, but our kids are the same age. And sometimes I go and join them for lunch. And I'm always like, Does your mom know what you're eating? Like, what
is
and like knowing Amelia, like I could see her just under the radar
You know those chocolate milks that she's not supposed to have because it's so much dairy and it constipates her?
Yeah.
She's like, every day.
I can't resist
the chocolate milk. Mom.
Oh my gosh.
Well, girl, you need to cut back.
Yeah. It's fine. Just once a week, Fridays or something.
I know. Yeah. But she does. So she loves when the lunch menu comes out and she circles all the days she's going to have lunch.
Oh.
It was funny though. She's only been in public school. This is going into her second year now. But she was used to me packing everything for her. But just the other day, I packed something for Sal's lunch and she's like, what? She got to have that in her lunch? I was like, well, you took hot lunch. Like, you could have this too if you'd let me pack you a healthy lunch.
You chose chocolate milk, dude.
You chose chocolate milk and whatever that main entree was. Is it like breadstick and marinara? I'm still not sure how that meets all the requirements, but that's a whole nother podcast, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do set out that giant...
The salad bar.
Salad bar, and then... Annie's using air quotes for people since you can't see her.
Oh, yeah.
But, and then also the, like, enormous, like, you could take a bath in it, bowl of apples.
Oh, yeah.
Like, disgusting, like, red apples.
You're such an apple hater.
Well, I kind of am, but... That's a different topic too. But like most kids I see are not eating the apples. They're like smashing them or like throwing them up in the lights or like doing various like it's like vandalism with the apples and not eating them. But that's I'm like, oh, this is how they're meeting the requirements. Right. They're like offering
it. They're offering it. Yeah. And you're right. Those do taste like someone slurred them with Clorox.
I mean,
like, and
thank
a little
you.
Yeah, I mean, I will give you that.
I'm not totally
I love red apples, but you're right. Those ones.
And they're mushy. They're like,
they're mealy,
sick. Anyways.
Okay, so she loves hot lunch.
She loves hot lunch.
Because it's full of gluten. And you know, because actually, if you don't have to be gluten-free, if you go gluten-free, it actually can be unhealthy for you.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so there, you know, if you have a gluten allergy, obviously you should not have gluten. Or if you just feel better because when you don't eat gluten, that's great. We have all been tested. None of us show up as celiac except for Sally. And so we do have to eat gluten in our diet. So we do occasionally order food or go get food and eat gluten food in our house. But we're very careful. We sit on the floor like it's a little picnic.
Mm-hmm.
My poor father-in-law, when he comes, he does not like to sit on the floor because he's 70-something and has bad knees and bad hips. And so he does. I do allow him to eat at the table and then I wash it really well. But
you're like, do yoga. Come on.
I know. Get it together.
Get on board.
So we do that once in a while because we also need gluten in our diet.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like my leftovers are my lunch the next day at school is what we ate, what I cooked, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not having gluten for every meal.
Yeah.
It's mostly gluten free.
Yeah.
So to keep us healthy, we do have to have some gluten in our diet.
Yeah.
Which, oh darn. Have to,
like, shucks. Make the exception.
Have a Park Avenue roll or something.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. Okay. And then we haven't even mentioned Steve much at all.
Oh, but yeah. My husband Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. Your husband Steve. Again, part of this like cast of characters who I love because he's got his own like sense of humor. I would say he's more like Amelia. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
They
and the facial
from the same
expressions
cloth. Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. But, I think I told you once that one time I was walking by the bathroom and Billy's in there making faces in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm just making different faces. I'm like, all right. And Steve's like, I used to do that. And I'm like, oh.
There it is.
Did you teach her that?
Yeah.
No. I did.
Hereditary. It's in the genes.
It's in the genes.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, I think it's like hard to understand what we're talking about unless you meet Amelia. But like, just a quick example, because like, it's not like her facial expressions are all of her personality, but I will say that one of my pure delights was like being in her classroom, because I would go half the morning with the really littles and then the afternoon with the a little bit older kids. And Amelia, we would like sit in circle and everyone would be sharing, and inevitably like someone would be sharing a story that was pretty dumb, you know? I mean,
like,
but like as
exciting.
A teacher, I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. And like, I would look over at Amelia for like how I should be feeling, and she would just be giving this
you
look
read it
like,
right on her face.
Why would you share that with a group of people? And like, that's like what her face said with no filter, like no awareness.
No, she doesn't.
That like anyone would be noticing that. And then that was the same when I volunteered in second grade. Like it hadn't changed. Like she would just be like, oh. Like, yeah. Who are you? But just on her little face. And it's not like she doesn't smile and stuff to you, but her scowl with like
her
the eyebrows.
With her
and
eyebrows.
Just like kind of like the gaping mouth of like, are you kidding
are
me?
Are you kidding me? That is what her face
that
is. And that is what her, I mean, her teacher commented on that during parent-teacher conferences in writing on her report card, that like his barometer of how the lesson was going was, what is Amelia's face telling me? Is it like, yes, we've got this, or no, we don't got this, or this is stupid, let's move on? Yeah. I mean, the fact that it, like, he mentioned it multiple times over her second grade year just cracks me up.
It is.
Because it's something that it's so, I mean, we've always talked about her scowl from the time she's been born, and it's great that other people also
I
see
take
that.
So much pleasure in it. I don't know what that means, but it's just so honest. I guess it's just
so honest
and raw, and she does not care.
No.
Like,
no.
She's just about being honest.
Yeah.
So anyway, Steve's a little bit like that,
They're
too.
They're a little bit like that, yep.
And the two of you going on this journey together with Sal, like, what has that been like for your marriage?
You know, actually, it's been great. He's my biggest fan, and I'm his biggest fan, and he's super supportive. You know, I think about, we're talking about our birth story, and there's no one else I'd rather have in the room with me when I was giving birth. I mean, poor guy rubbed his hand raw. Like, all I wanted to do is rub my back, and he, you know, now it's okay to make fun of me, but in the time, no. I mooed like a cow. Uh-huh. Apparently, I was like,
well, that's what you're supposed to
do. Yeah, get low, man, right?
Get low in your voice.
In
get
your
low.
Voice, in your body, all the things get low.
I didn't know that until my second, but, like, that saved
Kristen
me.
Kristen Bishop taught me that.
Yeah. Kate McWilliams taught me that.
All
I
these
know.
Important people.
Yeah, and I would not have known, and I don't know that I could have made it through the pain had I not
had
known
you not,
to do
it
that.
It does. I don't know what it is or why it works, but it does. And so he rubbed my back, and I mooed like a cow, and really there's no one else that I would feel comfortable doing that with.
Yeah, totally.
And he was an advocate. He still continues to be an advocate. It's been really important to have someone who is on the same page with me. The stupid food log that we had to keep forever and ever it's mostly my handwriting, but he did write in there and it, you know, mostly it was my handwriting because that's my personality and I was the one doing most of the cooking and packing of lunches and stuff, just how our duties were shared. But he's been lovely. He's very scientific minded, so he does a lot of explaining to the girls and anyone who wants to know about, you know, here's why we have to do this and here's what that looks like inside your body. He's very analytical and that's how he processes things. So that's super helpful because I'm more of the emotional processor.
Right. Totally. And you guys are both really funny and I feel like that helps.
I think he helped me be funny. I mean, we've known each other since 2000, so 23 years, and I'm pretty sure he's shaped my sense of humor.
Good job, Steve.
Yeah, good job.
Well, I mean,
my
I
mom
feel
would
like
say I've become sort of an asshole, but
I mean, I
no
think
fingers are being pointed at Steve.
I think that that's part of though what can like help you through hard things is being able to not laugh at like
the
trauma or anything, but like to every once in a while, like behind a corner, be like, can you believe what they just said to me? Like that's one thing I miss, you know, of like being a single parent now, or co-parent is like I don't have anyone to be like.
Share a look like what the hell. I
seriously, like, because now I just have to like myself be like, shake my head and keep going.
Can you remember it to tell someone later? Yeah. My problem. No,
once
I
in a
cannot.
While. Now that my parents are in town, there's a little bit more opportunity like for like, wow. Yeah.
But that is true. I mean, actually, that was part of our wedding vows is that like he helps me laugh. At his mother passed away when we were in college, and that is not a laughing situation. But there were moments you have to find the funny things in it, you know, like when we're planning her memorial, I don't even remember what happened, but something happened and it was just like so asinine, and or it was like something that was like, I can't even believe that this is now happening. And you just have to laugh.
Yeah.
And he did teach me that. And again, it was part of our wedding vows. And it's funny to hear you say that because it's true. He he likes to play the devil's advocate, which sometimes is not appreciated, but also like needed when I'm in a different mindset.
Yes.
And to be able to laugh at things, because you're right.
Now
we're gonna give our child an enema. Like, this is what are we doing? What life
what
is this
happened here? Yeah, this is not.
Now I'm gonna write down the consistency of her poop in this on this piece
every
of paper
day
here. Every day.
I mean, that's so great. And I feel like it that is a very stressful situation, stressful news to receive, stressful, there's just a lot of stress there. And if you guys hadn't had that, you know,
it would have been totally
it would
different.
It could have really easily strained
for sure
and caused separation.
Absolutely. And, and I think the same thing of my family and his family and all of our close friends. Everyone is super supportive. They go out of their way to try and help, you know, accommodate her Sally and her needs. And I don't know how people have support networks that don't include those people.
Right.
Like, you have your family doesn't believe that you actually have to be gluten-free, or they don't understand the severity of it. And so I know that that exists, and I'm just so thankful that my tribe is so supportive. And
because you'd have to make the choice
and I don't want to. I love all those people.
Yeah.
But I guess if you have to make that choice, maybe the love meter goes down a little bit. Like, come on, man. This is for reals.
Yeah, this is for reals. Yeah. And then Sally these days. Let's talk about Sally these days, because Sally is 10.
She's
10. In the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Your kids have gone from Mountainside Montessori, where they kind of really like that shaped them, I think.
Yeah.
And now I've seen them both in like a public school setting.
Yeah, they love
it. And they love it. And Sally, I mean, let's talk about who Sally is today.
She is a spitfire. She's very, she has her mind set on things, and that's the way things are going to go, and that's what she's going to do. She's so social, like to a fault social. Like, she got sent out of the classroom the other day because she's too social. As a teacher, I was like, what?
Yeah.
No.
You were what?
You were what? But she loves to talk. She's really into theater. She does a lot with Grand Street. And we love to travel. We don't travel as much as we want to because of money. Mm-hmm. But this was kind of going to be a barrier for us at first. It felt like a barrier of like, we can never travel.
Yeah.
We have to, like, how is she going to eat safe? Like, I don't know if a restaurant is safe or not. And there are apps and there are groups and you can get lots of information, but until you actually are physically in a place and you can physically talk to someone who works in, say, a restaurant, you don't really know if it's actually safe for her. And you know, the way we manage her celiac is that we really it's zero contaminant. Like, we are not messing around. We're not going to maybe this is unsafe, or like maybe it'll be okay. I mean, we do try to give her some ownership in that now that she's a little older, of like, do you want to try this? Like, here's what we know. Here are the facts that have been presented to us. I'm going to leave it up to you. And she does not like the feeling of being glutened. It feels terrible for her in the couple times that it has happened and since her diagnosis.
Yeah, I think that's cool that you guys are letting her make those calls, because at some point, you're right, she will
she'll
be in situations where she'll have to make the call. And I think that having had those experiences, like, you do go back and you're like, this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I just don't want to go through
that.
It's
not worth it. And that's, I think, where she's she's at. But, you know, in between having her endoscope and now, there was a period of 2 years where we still were having trouble with the pooping. She was more regular about it and it was a little easier, but it still something just didn't feel right to me. And so our gastro in Spokane referred us to the Continence Center, the Pediatric Continence Center in in Spokane. And I didn't know that this type of thing even existed, but they specialize in helping people, children, figure out bowel movements and wetting issues, whatever they might be, or if they're special, you know, if their body formed in a different way, of how to manage that. So she referred us to this place, and we went there in Spokane and met with the people there. And basically they hooked up little nodes around her anus and monitored, like they said, okay, now push like you're pushing a poop out. Now squeeze like you're holding a poop in. And it turns out that those muscles were reversed for her. So when she was squeezing, like when she felt like she was trying to push out, she was actually holding it in, and vice versa. So that was a huge piece of news. And that actually was like the biggest turning point, because then we would go once a month, maybe every 3 weeks at first, to Spokane, and she would do therapy, basically, there where she would hook, they would hook her up to the this monitoring thing with these nodes around her anus, and there'd be like a monitor with like a game on it where you had to move something based on if you were constricting or pushing, is to retrain those muscles to operate in the correct way. And along with that, then we had to keep a super detailed log of all the food she ate. She had to have a certain amount of fiber every day, and what they called poop fruits, which are fruits that are high in sorbitol, which helps draw the water in and move things along, and they're higher in sugar and whatnot. And, you know, basically was told, like, this really healthy diet that I've been feeding her, you know, with peanut butter and apples and, like, all this fresh, was constipating her. Like, peanut butter is a constipator. Apples are constipators. Like, all these things that I thought were helping were actually maybe contributing. And so, like, they're not terrible. Those are things that are the good for you. But when you're trying to really help the stool soften so that her muscles can do these things, then you had to be really careful. So we logged how much water she had, had to have a certain amount of ounces of water every day, certain amount of grams of fiber. So every piece of food in here, in this nice black book I have here, has how many grams of fiber were in it. So like there's, you know, corn dog. So that's real healthy.
Just
only has
open.
2 grams of fiber. Grapes have 13. I mean, like,
yeah, it's just, wow, that's 0.3. So
yeah, there's just all these. And then we had to fill out this paperwork for every week that had her total amount of fiber and water and how many fruits she ate. I mean, it was like this, just like this Xeroxed copy from like, I mean, it was not even like a clean copy. It was just like, this is the Bible. This is what they give everyone. They haven't, they're so, so busy. They haven't been able to like clean it up a little.
Yeah.
And
right.
make it a little bit easier to read.
Totally.
And we had to keep that. And every time we would go to an appointment, we bring it and they look at it and they're like, oh, you know, you're being graded on A, did you keep track of everything? B, did you meet the goals? And then on top of that, she was doing sit times. She had to do these sit times. So every time she, so at first it was 4 times a day, she had to sit on the potty for 20 minutes a time. And there's all these sitting techniques of like having your feet supported when you're a young child so that your muscles can relax enough to let the poop out and being distracted, but not so distracted that you can't focus on that. So it was like no screen time while you're on the potty. It was, you can listen to stories, you can have a story read to you, you can chat, but so every day she was doing this 4 times a day, which was a lot when she's at preschool for 2 of those times.
Yeah.
And they were amazing. They were just so helpful. And I know as a teacher, and I know now working in that specific environment, how taxing that can be to have to keep track of one more thing. And they never made me feel like it was an inconvenience. They were there to support. And, you know, I just am so thankful for Erin Lanigan, who was running that at that time, that she was able to do that, and Sally's teachers. So that was a lot. And I look at this now and I'm just like, this is crazy. Like 2 years, we kept these logs of like 2 figs.
2 years.
2 years. It's two years worth of stuff. And, you know, and then I got very familiar with the poop scale.
Yes.
Which maybe people are, maybe people are not, but there is a whole scale of, you know, like there were these scientists in Europe somewhere whose goal was to figure out, like, this was years ago, of what the perfect poop was like, or what a normal poop would be like. So you're looking for like a sausage like.
Okay.
That's a good poop. With little cracks in it, also a good poop.
Okay.
Little fluffy pieces, those are good poops. But if you're getting like it's a hard ball or even little tiny pebbles, you need some more fiber, you need some more water.
Yeah.
Obviously diarrhea is not ideal.
Yeah.
But there's this whole poop scale, Bristol stool scale is what
okay,
it's called.
Okay.
And it, I think there were, I'm thinking there were six choices, 1 through 6, because I'm seeing here like half a cup, number 4/6. Yeah. So that's telling me how much it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm eyeballing. I'm not like picking it up out of the toilet, but still.
This is funny because this is how it's in my house. I'm like, come flush the toilet. Like every time, like, I don't want
to
see
and
that.
And I'm like, don't flush the toilet. I have like, to record this.
Yeah.
And still
I have to
now.
Record this.
Like,
yeah.
There's now we're to a point where like, I don't really need to see it. I mean, okay, if you feel better with me seeing it, fine, I'll see it. But mm-hmm. like the other, Amelia, you, I don't need to see your poop. Please just flush the
please
toilet.
Please don't.
But I will say, actually, it was good that she doesn't flush because she maybe needs to poop more than she is pooping. And she's not showing up as celiac, but there are maybe some signs that she's headed that way with mm-hmm. her stool. But also it could just be all that chocolate milk she eats at school.
I mean.
And processed food.
That'll get you.
That'll get you. So, so we're keeping, I'm very familiar with the Bristol stool scale, mm-hmm. which actually has helped me in my profession when I work with the toddlers who are potty learning. And I know way more than I ever thought I would know mm-hmm. or want to mm-hmm. know, but it actually is super helpful to kind of know like, oh, this child is clearly constipated.
Yeah.
And you know, that's pretty easy to tell, but now that I know that, and I think back to when Sally was a baby, she was constipated all the time. And I just didn't know, like, I remember her like sitting and squatting and getting really red in the face, trying to push a poop out mm-hmm. or just the consistency of her poop was like, oh
mm-hmm.
man, you were pretty constipated as a child.
Yeah.
And which could attribute to the reversal of muscles, you know,
totally. Yeah.
So anyway, so we did that for right up until the pandemic, and she was supposed to graduate from this program, and they were supposed to have a little party, but then the pandemic happened, so she didn't get any like closure with this place that we had been driving to every month for mm-hmm. I don't even know how long. And that sucked. But then my mom was so sweet. She made a little cake, or had a cake made that said like something about poop on it. And I was like, oh, this is bold move, mom. It could go either way. Mm-hmm. She could really think that's funny, or she mm-hmm. could be really embarrassed and hate
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, she thought it was funny, and it was just like our immediate family. And so she was okay with it. But
yeah.
So that actually, the therapy there and keeping all this food log, I mean, we're still... You know, I still push the high sorbitol fruits with her, but mm-hmm. unfortunately she does not like fruit anymore because mm-hmm. she just had to eat so much of it.
Yeah.
She doesn't hate it, but it's not her go-to.
Yeah.
She does like vegetables better. But.
Yeah. 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 And I thought it was really cool because you asked Sally if it was okay to record this and talk to her about it. Mm-hmm. And she said...
Yeah. She said, Mom, as long as it helps people who may be going through this... No, and to educate people on celiac, because I think, I mean, much like the gastro that diagnosed her, she didn't really understand that it is, I mean, the cross-contamination is a huge part. So we don't eat anywhere in Helena because mm-hmm. there's nowhere that I feel understands it well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe some of the fancier places mm-hmm. could, but that's not food that Sal loves.
Totally.
So when we go to Spokane, there's a place that's 100% gluten-free. And it is quite expensive, but it does have deep fried food and pancakes and things that she loves.
Well, it's worth it when you don't get to do that.
Totally. Yeah. And so we never make a big deal about like how expensive it is or how like it's not the best food for, you know, for other people, for the price.
Yeah.
But we go there every time we're there because it's a safe place for her to eat and it's food she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And in bigger cities, when my husband's family's from Denver and there's a few places there that we can eat.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like as she's getting older, we're kind of trying things out. You know, we have eaten at a place here in Helena. She did end up, you know, she ate there fine for a couple times, and then one time she did get glutened
mm-hmm.
and it was a traumatic experience for everyone because mm-hmm. it was like 2 hours to the minute of when she ingested this microscope. I mean, it was probably a crumb, like mm-hmm. a literal tempura crumb. And she all of a sudden got hot, and I don't remember if I took her temperature or not, but she had all this anxiety and wanted to be alone, mm-hmm. which broke my heart because she was clearly suffering. And for her to say she wants to be alone was scary for me.
Yeah.
And is like in my mind for future Sal of like,
mm-hmm.
this is maybe how she's going to process things. Mm-hmm. And like, how can I allow that, but also be there to support it and work with my own anxiety over her wanting to be alone when mm-hmm. she's going through something like this. She just sat in the bottom of the shower with the shower running crying and saying she wanted to be alone, but then like also verbalizing all of this to whoever could hear it. And then it passed within like an hour or so. And then she was fine, but it was scary for her. And she obviously did not like that feeling.
Right.
That was a pretty extreme example of her being gluten. But I feel like there's been a couple times where it's been a maybe processed around gluten. That's something she's eaten, been processed around gluten, because she will sometimes wake up with leg cramps. And if it's in both of the legs, then she knows it's probably been gluten. But if it's just one leg, it's probably a growing pain is how she's talked about it. I don't know, because I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but it does kind of make sense to me that if you've gotten gluten, it will react
all over
your entire body, not just one leg or the other.
Yeah.
Which then again was like, oh, all those growing pains she had were not really growing pains. Those were probably her being contaminated or like getting gluten or enough, a certain amount of gluten that it made her feel yucky or bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But now, you know, like, you invited us to a birthday party last fall, and she was so excited because, you know, she's at this new school, and she knew Kai from Mountainside, and they were friends, but now they're in the same class, and she was got invited to a sleepover, and she was so excited. And you were so great because you're like, how can we make this safe for Sal? And so I usually just pack something for her, and, you know, like, that's what we did. And I'm not there, so I don't know how it went over there, but typically she's very confident about this is what I can eat and like this is my food, and I try to get her a special treat in place of whatever the dessert is at birthday parties. And I think for the most part that she seems happy with that.
Totally. She was super joyful about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice as a parent because like that Sal is the age that she is and as informed as she is, because I can ask her questions, like, you know, and she knows the end, like, is it okay for you to eat around two other friends who are eating, like, and she knows,
and
you
she
know?
Knows, yeah.
And so then I have less fear around
it
because then I'm like, oh, I can just check with Sally. It's like, when you're driving a kid home and you're like, what's your address?
You know? Exactly. Like,
but like, turn right here, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it just, there was like some relief there because I knew that she knew.
Totally.
And that was helpful.
Yeah. And so that's what we do. And we really talk with her now, especially as she's getting older, about not letting this hold her back from living her life. Like, so we do try to travel, you know, it's scary, and it was more scary at first when we started to travel, and we bought like this camper because we needed a safe kitchen. She also was still doing all this like sit time. I mean, she still spends more time on the potty than anyone else just to try and keep herself regular. And so it has a bathroom in it, and she can always feel comfortable. She's not, again, like Amelia, who just loves the pit toilet, loves the outhouse, and loves the nature's bathroom. It's always been a struggle with her. So to have something that's her space and comforting, and she can go there whenever she needs to. So when we can, we take the camper. We've pulled it to Denver a couple times. We take it to my parents' house once or twice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But then we've traveled to Mexico with her, and we went to Canada for skiing in Seattle. And, you know, it's a lot of food. We take a lot of food with us, and it's a lot of work ahead of time and a lot of planning and making sure, like, Steve will attest that our pantry is, I'm kind of like an anxiety shopper of like, what if we don't ever have that again? Yeah. Like, what if it's never here or it's on sale? I better buy a bunch of it.
Totally.
And that is, I mean, that is probably pretty unhealthy.
I don't know. It makes sense to me.
Hoarding food in case.
When saltines are like $12, you know, I mean, you gotta have them. If they're on sale, it's worth it.
Yeah. And so like there's definitely some of that in my own issue probably, but we've done it, and we try to help her understand like it's still possible to do these things. You know, if you get invited somewhere and you want to go, we can figure out how to work around that. And hopefully as she gets older and starts to be more independent, and, you know, like her friends want to go eat somewhere, she can go with them and know that she can either bring something, because she is covered under the American with Disabilities Act. And that was really hard for her to like, I don't want to sneak food into the movie. And I'm like, well, you can buy candy here, but you cannot buy popcorn. So like, we won't bring candy because there's safe candy there, but there's no safe popcorn for you. So you can bring your own popcorn if you want. And she felt like she was being sneaky. And I'm like, Sally, I'm happy to expected to defend you. I have doctor's notes. You know, when we went to Mexico, I was afraid they wouldn't let us in with some of the food. So I had her doctor write a note that said this is, you know, part of like treating her medical condition. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. I mean, they didn't bat an eyelash about the food we brought. I mean, we were obviously careful about the fruits and vegetables that kind of thing. But yeah, so just giving her, like, being an example for her and helping her to know that, like, don't let this limit your life because I want you to still live a life that's full and your social. I know this is an important part for you. So hopefully that is working and that's will be okay in the future. I mean, again, there's certainly times where she's like, you know, like someone had extra things from a birthday in the classroom next door and handed out the others and she didn't get to have her special treat because they were on their way out.
Yeah.
And that sucks, but it's also like, it's pretty small in the grand scheme of things. And she knows that like, she can just get a treat when you get home.
Yeah.
Just tell me about it. And she's pretty honest. She doesn't you know, she doesn't hide or like try to get more. She's pretty honest.
Yeah.
Right now anyway.
Yeah.
So she gets older.
I don't know. I think she has a pretty sharp moral compass,
I hope so.
She's like afraid of the popcorn situation.
Seriously.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I usually like to wrap up. I mean, I've started wrapping up with some rapid fire questions because I think that's really fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Okay. Well, it might be fun. We'll see.
Also, you know, Mother Love is a serious show and we talk about serious things and like harder stories sometimes because the objective, the intention is to help parents who are also struggling just feel less alone in their struggles.
Totally, yes.
And provide resources and things like that. So that's what we do.
Okay.
But it's nice to lighten it up at the very end. Send you on your way with a little humor, maybe. I don't know. Okay. So number one, what are you working on that you're really excited about right now?
Oh, I'm planning a trip to Yellowstone. We're going to Yellowstone next weekend. And I was like a kid in the candy shop at the library when all my Yellowstone books were waiting for me on the hold shelf.
That's the most Annie thing I've ever heard.
And I like skipped
public
down there.
Public library.
I got
the notice.
I got two free rubber bands, giant rubber bands holding all my books together.
Yo, that's a good day.
That's the project I'm working on right now.
I'm excited about the jumbo rubber bands.
And the rubber bands and the guidebooks.
I just went to Yellowstone for the first time in my life a few weeks ago for my birthday. And since we grew up next to Glacier Park, my family never went all the way to Yellowstone. Yeah. It is really incredible.
Yeah, we took the girls when they were little, like probably they don't even remember, but my parents are coming and Steve's dad is coming and we're
gonna be together.
I know, so, and my dad has never been, and he's so excited. And
cool.
Yeah, it'll be
that
fun.
Is
so
exciting.
That's my project.
Okay. Love it. What is something that you, Annie, loved as a kid that you still love now?
Cotton candy.
Good answer.
So back to food.
Does it matter what color it is?
Not typically. I like both blue and pink.
Okay.
I'm sure there are other colors, but those are the pretty standard ones, right?
How often do you eat cotton candy? Like, okay, I guess you don't have to answer
that. No, I can answer that once a year.
Are you willing? Okay, that's what I was going to say. Are you willing to buy like the prepackaged cotton candy?
Yeah, well, because that's what's safe for Sal. So I did buy it like two Christmases ago for them.
Okay.
And I still get crap because I ate, like it sat in our pantry forever. They like ate a little bit of it and then it just sat in there teasing me. And so finally, like, you know what? I'm putting this away.
You can't.
And I still get crap for it. Mom, remember when you ate all of my cotton candy? I'm like, yeah, remember when you left it there for months not eating it? And actually, I bought it again recently. So maybe it's like two times a year.
Right, let's be honest.
And Amelia's like shriveled up into this like crystal hard sugar ball.
Yeah.
I didn't know it did that after. See, so it just got ruined because no one ate it. I would have happily eaten it.
It's a damn shame is what that is.
It's a damn shame.
I'm glad you did the right thing. Okay, what TV series or book are you into right now?
The Summer I Turned Pretty. I haven't watched that show, but I just listened to the first book and I didn't. And then Hoopla said this is the next one in the series, so now I'm listening to that one.
Oh, cool.
I'm debating whether I'll watch the show because I never know if it's gonna meet my expectations.
It's a tough choice. Yeah,
I'm really into historical fiction also. So I'm reading this. I don't even remember what it's called. The Speech at Summerlee or something.
Oh,
it's
that's
about
like my worst nightmare.
A spy. I know. I love musicals. You don't like musicals. I like historical fiction. Right out.
That's fine. It's fine. I'm happy for you. Yeah. I hope it's a good experience. Maybe you can give me a nutshell version of it. Okay. One of them is, if you could board a plane and travel anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would you go and why?
I think Italy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cheese and bread.
Yeah.
And warmth. Is it warmer there? I don't know. Maybe not right now.
I think it is.
Similar? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's going to be beautiful there.
Totally.
And there's going to be food that's bread and cheese. Yeah.
Yes. And wine.
And wine.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But yes, wine.
I'll come with you. Okay. We'll figure out if it's warm or not.
We can do some research.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird. Hands down.
For sure.
Like,
oh, we do have something in common.
See, we do.
But I'm not going to get up and read historical fiction or I'd go back to bed. Like, there's not enough coffee in the world. good, good. Okay. What is one of your favorite holiday traditions?
I mean, I really love Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
It's not really a, I don't know, is that a tradition?
Yeah, I think so. That's what the
My
last
My whole family
guess,
does not like,
but, like
that meal,
what's
but
your
I love
favorite
it.
Dish, I guess?
Oh, well, green bean casserole.
Pretty good.
I didn't ever grow up having that. It wasn't until
Are there gluten-free French onions?
There are. One year I made them myself. That was fun. Actually, it wasn't too hard.
Okay.
It's just like mix them in some flour and like shallow fry them. But
Can
they
I
are
buy them from you if you do that again?
Yeah.
You order some.
For sure. Yeah.
The cool.
gluten-free stuffing, it gets so smooshy.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
It used to be my favorite.
Yeah. Mine, that still is mine, but I'll have to figure that out now. What is something you do not like doing, but you have to do it anyway?
Oh. Gosh. I hate cleaning toilets.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's very satisfying, though, because then it's, like, clean.
Yeah.
But I just, and it doesn't take long. I don't know why I don't like it.
Well.
And I don't like cleaning shower, bath, like, the tub and shower. It's, like, forever.
Oh, the tub
is
the
worst. And there's so many little spots. And, like, why is it so hard?
It's hard. That's got to be, like, a good day.
Okay, so.
I'm with you on that. The tub is awful. Mm-hmm. Toilet is, I'm kind of like, I don't know.
It can go fast.
I cleaned houses for a while.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm super speedy, super, like, it can be done.
Efficient.
See you later. Like, that's done.
I just
done.
Feel like other people in my house should take care of that.
Oh,
me.
That's I guess I could see that.
Again,
no
it
one
doesn't
in my
take
house would
time.
Ever do a good enough job at that. So
that
I'm
is
like,
kind of the problem.
And they would probably like get. I'd be like, shower now.
That is the girls do have to clean their bathroom. They often trade weeks, and it is always like, did you clean the toilet? Because I'm hoping you actually said no, because I don't know where you got all that. Like, where did
like,
it drip
now have
all over?
Toilet all over the house?
What is it all over you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good answer. If this one is hard but good, if you could give advice to your younger self, what would you say?
Oh, that is hard.
And it can be any stage of you.
I think just be proud of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a cool person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, like, meet other people's expectations or take other people's criticism to heart. Like, high school's stupid.
Yeah. Which is now.
Or middle school or whatever it is. Whatever age it I don't even in my mind know which age it was, but.
Which isn't it cool as a mom when you can now say that to, like. Like, I wish someone would have said that to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe people did say it to me and I just, you can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it just feels like, no, that couldn't possibly be true because this is such a big thing in my life right now.
Right.
But I do think it is helpful to say it on repeat. Like, who cares what they think?
Yeah.
Or I'm really proud of you for not paying them any mind when they said that to you.
Right. Which Amelia,
or for saying,
Amelia, that's
she just
in.
Says it right on her face.
But,
yeah, that's
but
fair.
With Sal,
but
I feel like it's a good thing that she knows to like advocate for herself and in the way that she has to for her diet.
Right.
And like she can't care about other people's reactions or assumptions
about
her.
And you know, good or bad, she is very egocentric. Like she is, she almost to a fault doesn't take, like she's just so like here I am.
Yeah.
It's and I'm great.
Kind of like that too. Yeah.
But then there's times where she'll say like, so-and-so said this to me and I'm like, what'd you say? She's like, I just ignored her. I'm like, awesome.
Yep.
Perfect. Keep doing that.
Yep.
Please.
Yeah.
Cause who cares what that person
I know.
Thinks?
Seriously. Okay. Who's one person in your life who has greatly inspired you?
I mean, Sally.
Yeah.
Really. Cause she just, if you can't tell, food is life for me. And this was a hard switch for me. And maybe it's because she was four when it happened, but she just is She's like, it's okay, Mom. Like, if you guys want to eat there, you can. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, she's just so much better than I would have been. A spoiled brat. I would have just been a brat about everything. And yeah. She is not.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of it is because you guys have been such a team about it, too, I think.
It's true. Yeah. It's that you're right. That is true. And mm-hmm. I think she feels super supported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In all areas of her life. Her teachers have been great.
Yeah.
I was worried about that when she started public school, that, well, how are they going to even care?
Yeah.
And they both have been fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. And last one, I'm stealing from Brené Brown.
I love
from
her.
Unlocking Us, because it's my favorite every time she asks it. But what is on your bedside table right now?
Oh, a giant stack of books.
Uh-huh. Me too.
That sometimes shrinks, but mostly grows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's add that one to there.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing of importance. So mm-hmm. you want to know all the things? Like there's a clock.
Okay.
Is there a clock? What is that thing? Oh yeah, there's like a Google Home that has the time.
Okay. Yeah.
That I can see when I don't have my contacts in uh-huh. without squinting too much.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like even that tells a lot about a person, because like our phones are our clocks, right?
Yes. Yeah. But and my phone is charging there, but usually face down.
Yeah.
And I don't like to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, like in the middle of the night, I don't like to pick it up and look at it, because then I see notifications or whatever else. So the Google clock is helpful.
Well, and if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can see a clock at all, I'm screwed.
It's then true. Because then you know what time it is. And then you're like thinking about, I have 3 hours.
The Google clock.
I try to not. Well, it's good that I'm kind of blind without anything on. Because then I really have to, if I really want to know the time, I have to kind of work at it. But otherwise, I just roll back over. And a coaster of my children. It's like a picture of my children that I set my water glass on once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that's mostly it.
I mean, I
feel like. Box Kleenex.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some interesting things on ours because Kendall and I share a bedroom because our house is so tiny.
Uh-huh.
So there's a mix of like my giant stack of books will knock over her like angel figurine. And then she's like, no, not the angel figurine, you know? So
yeah, that sounds like Amelia. I mean, her and Amelia must have a similar bedside table. Uh-huh. Like,
yeah.
Knickknacks. I'm like, why do you need this right next to your bed right now? And then you like arm flails and it like falls off in the middle of the night and breaks.
Yeah. We haven't broken it yet, but we've gotten close.
Okay, I'm glad it did.
Good. Okay, well, thank you, Annie.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you could come on.
It was very
therapeutic
to share the story, and maybe now I can let this diary go.
I don't think you ever should. That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, this food log thing here.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Yeah. No, I think you should get one of those, like, glass cases.
Oh, display it?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, maybe put a light on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, flip the page every once in a while.
Flip the page, see what else was happening in 2018. Yes. I almost said 1918.
Yeah.
No, not that long ago.
See? Historical fiction.
Historical
getting
fiction.
The best of you. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mother Love exists to help our guests and listeners honor and embrace their own stories and experiences. If the content in this podcast has caused you concern or distress, please reach out to someone you trust for support. Speaking up about our struggles is half the battle, and there are many providers who can and want to help. Visit our statewide online resource guide at www.hmhb-lifts.org to help you find resources in your area. Mother Love is hosted by Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies, the Montana Coalition, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the health and well-being of families who are expecting or raising little ones. Opinions and views expressed in these interviews do not necessarily represent the views of HMHB as an organization. We sincerely value the lived experiences shared on Mother Love, and we understand that not everyone will agree with or relate to all of what is shared.
Thank you to our incredible editor and producer, Brooke Boone Miller, for sharing her gifts with us. She's a mom, and she gets it, and for that we are so grateful.